Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Backcountry in Des Moines, a boutique that believes, as Twain said, travel is fatal to prejudice, bigotry, and narrow-mindedness. Located at 2702 Beaver Avenue, Backcountry curates clothing and gear for people who travel in mind now and in person soon.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This is Talk of Iowa Summer Camp. Summer is a little bit different this year, but it's still a great time to learn, explore, and have adventures. Every Tuesday all summer long, our camp will have a different theme, and today we are going to the theater. The Des Moines Community Playhouse hosts summer camps every summer, usually inviting many young people into the playhouse to act, sing, dance, laugh, and learn. This summer, their camps have gone virtual. The first week of camp is underway, but there's still time for you to get involved in the coming weeks, and they've also agreed to bring theater camp to Talk of Iowa. Today, our camp counselors are Robin Spahr, Education Director for the Des Moines Community Playhouse. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for being here. Joe Van Hacke is here. He's the improv teacher at the Playhouse. Hello, Joe.
Hi, good morning.
And also with us, Robin Fulton. Two Robins for the price of one today. Robin Fulton, master yep. teacher at the Playhouse. Hello, Robin Fulton.
Good morning.
Thank you all so much for being here today. And of course, theater is fun, and that's reason enough to enjoy the theater and want to be a part of a production. But Robin Spahr, I'll start with you. What else can we get out of learning how to perform and developing these muscles?
Oh, well, we talk a lot in theater about developing life skills with theater. I mean, doing theater is fun, and certainly we have former Playhouse kids out in the world doing professional theater, either as actors or directors, designers. But the majority of young people that come through our doors will not grow up to be theater professionals. They're going to be teachers and doctors and accountants and business people and you name it, psychologists. I'm looking at Robin because I believe that's what her son does. And it's those life skills that they learn, the self-confidence, active listening and empathy, even something such as learning how to deal with disappointment and working with others, collaboration, cooperation. I mean, all those things that we want to see develop in our children. These are life skills they can learn doing theater, and they can have fun while they're doing it.
Absolutely. The number one reason to do it, at least right now this summer, is to have fun. And as I mentioned, your camps have gone virtual. A lot of playhouses around the state are doing virtual summer camps. So there are opportunities for kids to get involved and get some inspiration and connect with other people. But we can do this kind of thing at home, even if we're on our own. Right, Robin Fulton?
Absolutely.
Yes, absolutely. There's so many different options for families to do together. And I think, they bonded in different ways during this time. So gives them a lot of chance to do some creative things together.
All right. Well, let's talk about some concrete ideas for things that you can do at home. And Robin Spahr, I know you've come up with quite a list of some ideas for things you can do at home, starting with maybe stories you're familiar with, right?
Well, children's literature gives us just a nearly endless list of stories that are right at our fingertips. So whether it's through your library or Kindle or, iBooks or whatever you have at home. I mean, I know a lot of us have pretty substantial libraries already with children, but it's really not hard to take a picture book and bring it to life. Act the story out. If you've got little ones, you've got story dramatization, and mom or dad can take the lead in leading the kids through the story. You can create a costume out of just about anything in your closet. Get a scarf, and you can do all kinds of things with just that. And then you can do other things with. You can take a story, let's say Goldilocks and the Three Bears. Maybe you're going to do Goldilocks and the Three Aliens instead, and create your own version of it, and what we call a fractured fairy tale. So you're kind of going off into new explorations and using your imagination.
And this is something that when you write a play or make up a new story, you don't, if you don't have writing skills, you don't have to write things down. You can make up the story kind of as you go along. But I can imagine that maybe you've got a couple brothers and sisters, maybe you've got parents who are willing to be involved. You could have quite the cast. But even if you're on your own, this is something that you can do. You can dramatize a story even if you're by yourself, right?
Oh, absolutely. And you can use, if you have dolls or action figures or puppets mm-hmm. or anything else around your house, you can use them to bring your characters to life. And, you know, I know I have a child who, you know, with the dolls, she creates whole stories and tableau and all kinds of interesting things. And I admit it, I eavesdrop at the door sometimes and kind of listen in and get to enjoy it as an unseen audience member. You know, the imagination is pretty limitless, really, when it comes to activities like that.
Robin Fulton, it's, of course, finding the words, finding the story is an important piece of this process. And there are also many things online. If you want to look for plays online, maybe you can ask your mom or dad to help you search for some scripts that you could dramatize at home. But Robin Fulton, in deciding to become a character, you need more than the words. What else do you need?
Oh, my goodness. There's so many different ways that we can express ourselves. Obviously, movement is a big part of theater, using our bodies in different ways, looking at voice and how that can be used to express the characters in a story. Even a reader's theater, there's so many things online, too. I was looking, there's a couple ones that I have that are favorites, but if you just Google reader's theater, they're all free. There's so many free ones that families can do together, and you can focus on that voice. But as Robin said, too, imagine. That is the key. You know, there's no boundaries in what these kids can come up with, and there's no wrong answers in theater. There just isn't. Problem solving is part of it, too. That will, you know, every story in fiction is going to have a little problem in it. And so kids can figure out how maybe I'd solve it a different way than the author would.
So when you are becoming a character, do you have some suggestions for how to do that? I know that if you spend some time paying attention to grown-up movie stars, they have a lot of advice about how to do that. We don't have to all become method actors and deeply immerse ourselves in the Little Red Hen or Goldilocks. But Robin, do you have some suggestions for kids for maybe even using their bodies to try to become a character a little more convincingly?
Which Robin?
Robin Fulton.
Yes. Well, there's different ways. I mean, we can even, you know, with little ones, you can, you know, act out even the letters of the alphabet and using your body in that way. I think sometimes giving them a couple, like, story idea cards that give them a character, an action, a problem that they have to solve. And then they can come up with that character. But costuming, props, using props in a different way, that's really fun. And kids' imaginations really go wild with that. But I think it's really open to their interpretation. But that's where I think picture books are so excellent, even with older kids, because that gives them one view of what the author is trying to get across. But then they can always add a character, as Robin said, fracture that fairy tale, make it a little bit different, make it their own, use their toys at home, things like that. So I think that it's really pretty much limitless as far as what the kids can do to come up with their own unique characters.
Yeah, Robin Spahr, do you have anything you'd like to add to that about how to embody a character?
Well, I think it's fun to explore different ways to move your body. I know there's an exercise that we do where we have the kids move around the room, and we might say, okay, now lead with your nose. And so when they walk, they're leading with their nose. And what does that do to your body? And how does that change you into maybe somebody who's a little snooty or an upper class kind of person? Just by lifting a nose and putting it up there. Or if they're leading with their hips, for instance, or with their big toes, how does that change their energy and the way their body moves? And all of a sudden, it's interesting. It kind of moves through them. And then you see them become somebody else right in front of your eyes. Or if they're leading with their chin, all of a sudden they're a really stubborn person, and maybe they're a little crabby or a little grumpy, and they're grumpy monkey or grumpy bird or somebody along those lines. And so that can just be a fun way to explore. You know, I think it's Monty Python who does the Ministry of Silly Walks, right? Mm-hmm. So you have that up. You could do, okay, so walk like your legs are jelly. And so what does that do? And then are they an alien? Or are they, you know, a snake? Are they a worm? I don't know. You know, that can help figure out who their character might be. And then once they're kind of exploring the different ways to move their body, then we can talk, okay, so what are some different ways you can use your voice? How does an old lady, I'm going to put that in quotes, old lady talk? I mean, they probably think somebody who's 40 is an old lady, right?
Right.
But, you know, it's funny when I say walk like a grandma, all of a sudden they all get their walkers out. I'm like, you know, there are 45-year-old grandmas who would not appreciate that. But, you know, it's okay. They're exploring, and that's exactly. Or, you know, if they want to talk like, what do they think an alien might sound like? Or what do they think Papa Bear might sound like? Does he have a low voice? Does Baby Bear have a high voice? So it's really kind of just going across and exploring. Exploration is key, you know, just trying lots of different things. And I think, which is true for any artist, in any medium, you've got, you know, for every piece of art that you see or hear or watch, there are probably 100 others that we don't get to see that they went through to get to that. And that's kind of what we're working on. We want them to just, and it's a lot of it isn't for the purpose of performance. Creative drama for young kids is for them. It's not, it's more about the process than a performance per se.
Now, when I was a kid, I was the youngest in my family and just sort of a performer all the time. And one of the ways that I liked to make my family laugh was by imitating my grandmother. And I still do a really good imitation of my grandmother. Is imitation a good idea, Robin Sparr? Is that a good way to flex those muscles?
Why not?
As long as you don't hurt anybody's feelings.
Yeah. You want to be kind about it. I don't think, you know, that the mean-spirited version, but I also do, I do a version of my grandma talking to my grandpa, you know, Pearl, you know, this thing she always would say. And yeah, but it's all with, you know, with love and kindness, of course. But I think it's a great way. Oh, I hear Annie.
Right, right. We are going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. And of course, since we can't be an ensemble this summer, it's going to be a summer of solos. So I thought we'd listen to a few songs that kids might enjoy singing on their own this summer. Tomorrow, a classic, of course. With us today, we have Robin Sparr, Robin Fulton, and Joe Van Hackey of the Des Moines Community Playhouse. It's Talk of Iowa Summer Camp.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Backcountry in Des Moines, a boutique that believes, as Twain said, travel is fatal to prejudice, bigotry, and narrow-mindedness. Located at 2702 Beaver Avenue, Backcountry curates clothing and gear for people who travel, in mind now, and in person soon.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This is Talk of Iowa Summer Camp, and today is theater camp. The Des Moines Community Playhouse hosts summer camps every summer. They usually invite many young people into the playhouse to experience acting, singing, dancing, doing improv, all kinds of exciting things. This year, they've gone virtual, and our camp counselors from the Des Moines Community Playhouse have also agreed to be part of the Talk of Iowa Summer Camp. With us this hour, Robin Sparr, Education Director for the Des Moines Community Playhouse, Joe Van Hackey, improv teacher at the Playhouse, and Robin Fulton, master teacher at the Playhouse. And as I mentioned before, this is a summer of solos for a lot of kids. So we'll play some music a little later on in the hour, listen to some of the songs that kids might really enjoy singing on their own this summer. I want to ask you, Joe, this is something that can be hard for some kids to do, to get up in front of other people and perform. And if we're talking about putting on a performance at home, maybe that's a little more comfortable than being on stage. But we'll dig into your specialty, improv, a little bit later. But do you have some advice for kids who might be listening about losing those inhibitions and being comfortable performing in front of others?
I sure do. I just really like to emphasize that when we're doing this, there's no right or wrong approach to whatever we're doing. And that's one of the things I love about improv is we live and just gel in that world of quote unquote wrongness. And we always say that the biggest failures are actually our largest successes. So we just really try to like set those inhibitions aside and just kind of stay in the moment and not judge ourselves, which is one of the great things about performing improv, that if you just start doing it at home on your own with your brothers and sisters or people that you have in the household, just enjoy and realize that there's no right or wrong way to do this.
And Robin Fulton, do you have anything to add to that? Because again, I mean, we all have different personality types. Some of us are maybe mm-hmm. natural mm-hmm. performers, attention seekers, mm-hmm. But some of us are shy. That can be really hard to have everybody looking at you.
It can be. And I know I've been trying to pay more attention to that the last few years, especially with little ones, because a lot of times it's the parents' idea. Let's try theater camp. Let's try soccer camp, you know, whatever. But there's some kids that just, I want to be the stage manager. I want to be the props person. I want to know that part of theater, too. And it gives us a chance to have them get involved in that way, maybe at not performance or their character with no words. But I think, too, a lot of times we're doing kind of improv with little ones. It's planned improv. They make up their own dialogue. And I think that really helps the kids own that. They feel that that's their choice. They don't have to remember somebody else's words. And that helps too. I think a lot of times they're not feeling, you know, as concerned that people are watching them. They're more into their character and not as worried.
Now, do you work with children with musical theater, Robin Fulton? Is that part of what you do?
I do not. That is not my forte.
Okay, Robin Sparr, that's you. So with singing, it's something that, of course, kids naturally love to sing and sing along with things, but that's a different experience than putting on a musical and singing on stage and really developing your own solo. And this summer, with your online camp, you're not going to be able to give the kids really the opportunity to be part of an ensemble this year, right?
Well, actually, we do have a camp starting next week. We're doing a musical called The Big 1-0, and it is actually a musical that's been adapted specifically to rehearse and perform via the Zoom platform or other similar platforms. So we are going to do that. Now, we've never done that before. We've taught musical camps for years and years and years, as long as I've been there and even before. But this is a whole new experience for all of us. I'll be teaching it with another of our teaching artists, Meredith Tobin, who actually will be teaching from Omaha, which is where she is now. And she grew up in Des Moines, was a Playhouse kid from the age of 5, I think, and is now a music teacher, which is very exciting. But we were talking yesterday and kind of planning, and there are going to be some challenges, you know, with musicals, the music component, the recorded music, because of different internet speeds, a lot of that actually has to be recorded and then put together on the other end via editing. But there are a lot of professionals out there figuring out how to do this and leading us through it. You know, the MTI Music Theater International and Beat by Beat Press, who has a show called The Show Must Go Online, which is, you know, they're just out there, and artists find a way, you know, we find a way to do art and do art together. It looks like we're going to have, I think, 16 young people in our cast next week, and we're excited, you know, we're excited. It's a challenge, but, you know, challenges are good. It's good to learn and to change and to grow.
Now, if you are at home and on your own, do you have some suggestions for how to develop your voice? Singing is something that, of course, the more you do it, usually the better you get. But if you want to try to really master a song, first of all, how do you pick one that's right for you?
Well, you know, there are a lot of factors. I think if I'm a child, I'm always going to say find something that's age appropriate. And by that, I mean a song with lyrics that you know, are something that you might have experienced. You know, sometimes I have young people that might audition with a song they've heard on the radio. which maybe isn't quite the best choice, you know, but something that fits in your voice range, lyrics that speak to you.
And so when you say fits in your voice range, if you're trying to sing it and it's there are notes where you really just can't reach that, or if it's way too high and you're straining
exactly.
all the time, that's probably not the right song for you, right?
Well, maybe not, you know, but
at least not yet.
Sometimes it's not yet. I mean, I think that's a great way to, instead of saying no, it's not yet. It's okay. Well, maybe it not, your voice isn't ready for this yet. So let's find things that you can be successful at, set you up to succeed. So finding the songs that fit in your voice now, and then maybe work on those other ones that are a little harder. And the question is, are you getting a song ready for a performance that you want people to hear? Are you working on a song to improve your vocal abilities? And so sometimes there are two different things you're looking at. But, you know, we also want to talk about storytelling. Musical theater isn't just hitting and singing pretty notes. It's telling a story through song. So we look at the text. We want to look at the text and make sure that we know what we're singing about and are communicating that, not just through our voice, but with our face and with our bodies as well. You know, something that's really hard for a lot of people, both kids and adults, but can be useful is practicing in front of a mirror. Actually watching yourself and I tell you, try it. And a lot of times people want to avoid watching themselves. I know I do. I don't like listening to myself, and I'm a singer. You know, I listen to it and I go, oh my gosh. But you really have to you have to work on removing that self judgment and just do it. And I think it's true of a lot of theater. You just have to do it and put it out there and not judge yourself and not be self-conscious about it.
Well, in thinking about musical theater, I think about some really amazing performances that I've seen in musical theater over the years where the actor or actress may not have the best voice, they may not be the best singer in the show, but because they really embody that character and just give a great performance, it's a great performance. So with musical theater, it's not always being the best singer either, right?
That's exactly right. You know, sometimes you can listen to or watch somebody who has a really pretty voice and be really bored by it. You know, just watch it go, okay, well, that was pretty. It was nice. But it's really finding those people that really just throw themselves into the character. And maybe every note isn't amazing, but you're just so taken in by the acting quality that you don't care.
Now,
and that's really, it's finding the balance.
Right. So I played a song from Annie earlier, and which is a musical that I absolutely love. And I spent a lot of time with that soundtrack when I was growing up because the original Annie movie came out in 1982 when I was very little. But I'm thinking those songs can be really fun to sing. But probably for my money, the song from Annie that's the most fun to sing is Miss Hannigan's song, Little Girls, where she's talking about how much she hates all the children in the orphanage. So do you have some favorites, Robin Spahr, that just are really fun to sing that give you an opportunity to really emote in some different ways?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. Character songs, you know, are the best. And I always tell kids, you know, it's funny. A lot of young people don't want to play the bad guy because they are worried that people will think they're bad. You know, there's that difficulty of separation. And I'm like, oh, no. It is so much more fun to play the villain than it is to play the hero or the heroine. You get to explore all those qualities that you would never think of, things you would say and do that you would never do as yourself. But when you're on stage and playing a character, you can do all of that. Miss Hannigan is a great example. That's a great, great part. You know, I'm trying to think, I've never really gotten to play a lot of those characters, which is kind of a bummer. You know, I ended up usually not getting to do that. But let me think about other songs people can explore or do. I'm going to have to think about it. Miss Hannigan's a good one, though. Yes, that's a good example.
All right, and
Ursula is another good one.
Oh, sure, from The Little Mermaid. And I was just going to say, you know, the Disney songbook has so many songs for solo voices and characters that a lot of kids are really familiar with and can empathize with. If you're on your own this summer, is that a great place to start? Maybe dig into some of those Disney musicals that you just absolutely love?
Totally. Yeah, I think there's a lot there. And for all ages, I mean, if you look into, you know, the Disney catalog, you'll see songs written for children, whether it's from The Lion King or I'm going to blank now, Beauty and the Beast or any number of others. But then you also have great villain pieces, and then you have lovely ballads and lovely upbeat and fun stuff like Hakuna Matata or Be Our Guest. Any of that kind of stuff. And there's really something for everyone and very readily available. You can, you know, hop onto Amazon. And if you wanted to get the sheet music, if you want to really be, you know, brave about that, but also YouTube or anything else, you can just sing along. There's really no set of necessary tools that you have to have
now,
when it comes to that.
When you sing along with a song, I mean, that has to be great experience and great practice, but it also gives you a safety net, a support structure, because you have this other voice to match. So as you're trying to become a stronger singer, a stronger supporter, you know, performer, Robin Spar, is it important to move away from just singing along with songs that you love and trying to do that on your own?
Absolutely. I mean, it's a good way to learn a song, but really, I mean, the goal is to make it your own, to put your own twist on it, to find things in the song for yourself, rather than trying to imitate another person who may not, you know, have the same skill set that you have, so you can emphasize your own strengths. And that's really, you know, it's really easy to find the music for most of these songs online. If you go to YouTube, just type in, let's say, you know, Part of Your World, karaoke, and you'll be able to find a recording of just the music. Or you can go to iTunes and you can purchase, you know, there are whole songs that are background music. I think The Greatest Showman, all of the songs are on their soundtrack without vocals. So you don't even have to go far. You just plug it in and you can sing along. And that's really, I think, important to find your own voice and figure out how you would interpret them.
I think because of, you know, we watch a lot of shows with vocal performers on them, and we listen to people on the radio. There are things that a lot of us want to do with our voices that maybe our voices are not ready for. So, Robin Spar, do you have any words of warning for young people who you know, maybe I'm just showing my age, want to sound like Mariah Carey? I realize nobody wants to sound like Mariah Carey anymore, probably. But, you know, somebody who has this incredible range and so much power, that's not something that maybe you can do when you're 12 years old.
Yep. Nope. You have to. I mean, I say this to kids a lot in rehearsal, and it's very common sense, but it still needs to be said. If it hurts, don't do it. If after singing you feel hoarse or strained or in pain, then you need to reassess. You know, you might be singing the wrong music, or you just might not be singing healthily. And, you know, as kids get older, they can explore voice lessons and things like that as well, finding a good voice teacher if it's really something they want to do and improve at, finding someone that can help you with that process. And there are voice teachers teaching online. So that's something that they'd even start in the summer. Find someone in their community or even outside of their community right now and get started on that to work on breathing and, you know, proper alignment and all those things so they can be as healthy as possible.
All right. Well, and I was just going to ask about breathing, because a lot of us just sing when we sing. I mean, do we need to learn how to properly hold our bodies and breathe properly to support our singing?
Absolutely. So a lot of people, both adults and kids, I hate to single out kids because it's not just them, but, you know, you watch them and they breathe and you see their whole body kind of go up and you see the tension in between their shoulders. And I always have to say, your lungs are not in your shoulders. Your lungs actually fill out and down. So think about bringing it, you know, more into your belly rather than up into your neck and your shoulders. And then, cause that creates tension and that makes it really hard to sing too when you're doing that. So it's a matter of finding those deep, low breaths, filling out your lungs, and then actually letting the air out as you sing. So you're not, I always use the analogy of a balloon. You blow up a balloon, and then if you pull the top of the balloon tight and let the air out, it makes that really horrible squeaking sound. And nobody wants to hear that. And that's kind of what sounds like when you're putting tension in your voice. And we, of course, that's not healthy. It's not good for your vocal cords. It's not good for, you know, the rest of your body. And we want to try to get away from that.
Okay. And do we need to limit the amount of singing that we might do in a day?
I would. And again, you know, it's just a matter of just like anything else. Listen to your body. It's just, if you were an athlete and you were exercising too long and things hurt or you injure yourself, you know, and you don't keep going, you stop and you wait until it's better. And it's the same with the voice. You have to, I mean, there are professional actors and singers who sing 8 days, you know, 8 shows a week, you know, on Broadway, but there's a way to do it healthfully. And if it doesn't feel right, they don't go on.
All right, we're going to take another short break. We'll be back in just a moment. It's Talk of Iowa Summer Camp today, theater camp today with the Des Moines Community Playhouse. With me, Robin Spahr, Joe Van Hacke, and Robin Fulton. We'll be back with some improv in just a moment, but we're going to listen to some music from the musical Matilda as we go out here.
And when I grow up, I will be smart enough to answer all the questions that you need to know.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This is Talk of Iowa Summer Camp. All summer long, every Tuesday, we'll be exploring a different theme. Today, it's theater camp. And with me from the Des Moines Community Playhouse, I have Robin Spahr, Education Director for the Des Moines Community Playhouse, Joe Van Hacke, improv teacher at the Playhouse, and Robin Fulton, master teacher at the Playhouse. And we're going to talk about improv next. And to get us in the mood, let's listen to a scene from the old television show, Whose Line Is It Anyway?, which was all about improvisational comedy.
And let's go on to a game called Scenes from a Hat. So all four of you, Brandon Collin over there, Brad Wayne over here. We got this hat here, and before each show, we ask the audience to write down different scenes they'd like to see, and we put the good ones in this hat, you know, because a lot of all of them are good. And I'm going to read out these suggestions and see how many of the performers can act out. So let's see. Personal messages you'd like to see flying from the back of an airplane.
Help, the engine's on fire.
If you can read this, you're driving too close.
All right. Bad parental motivational speeches.
Do you want to end up like me?
All right, just a little bit of inspiration from Whose Line Is It Anyway? We're going to talk about improv theater now. Joe Van Hacke is the teacher of improv at the Des Moines Community Playhouse. Hello, Joe.
Yes, thank you. And I'm glad I'm the only Joe on the
right. Well, we tried to get another Joe today to go with our Robins, but just things didn't work out. So, Joe, teaching improv, it's something that can be a little scary for people. First of all, describe what it is for people who aren't familiar with it.
So improv is taking a lot of the tools that we use in typical theater and setting them aside. We're working without a script, maybe even without a director, and we're performing scenes and creating stories right on the spot. And in rehearsals, we just practice those skills. But when we do a show, we're getting suggestions from the audience, much like we heard on Whose Line Is It Anyway? And then we have to take that and find what's our nugget of idea from that suggestion and continue building on it. Can we make a coherent story? And then oftentimes in what's known as short form improvisation, we add on additional elements, like maybe one of the actors or performers has to talk with a funny voice. That sounds like this. And I have to talk like this in front of the whole scene. and another actor has some other quirk or something added to them that, again, is taken from the audience. So we're really thinking and listening and reacting as quickly as we can.
Now, I think a lot of us have this feeling that some of us are very quick on our feet, very fast to respond and come up with ideas. And then there are others of us who think, I wish I'd thought to say that. Why do these things never pop into my mind? Robin Spahr is pointing at herself. So, Joe, are there some of us who are just kind of naturally good at improv, or is this something we can all learn to do?
After all the years that I've been doing this, I firmly believe that anyone can learn the skills of improvisation. My number one focus is listening. Too often we get stuck in our heads of like, I'm going to think of a funny thing to say right before while Robin Fulton is still speaking, instead of listening and waiting till she finishes and then reacting to that.
Okay, so thinking ahead is actually going to get in your way with improv, is what you're saying?
Exactly. If you think too far ahead and Robin Fulton says B when I was expecting A, the great line that I had to follow A is not going to make any sense at all now. So, yeah, the phrase I've been using since January or so is like, we need to slow down to go fast. And that's a lot of what improvisation teaches us.
All right. So it's also, I mentioned already, this is scary. This is scary to a lot of people to have to think of things on the fly and respond like that. But I can imagine that the anxiety also gets in your way. So how do you approach improv in a way that kind of opens you up and frees your mind to respond quickly?
Excellent question, because that anxiety is something that we deal with all the time. In improvisation, in my workshops, I make sure that we have a safe space. We always start off with a lot of the similar theater games that the Robins have talked about already. And then I just kind of like subtly twist them to build in those improvisation skills, especially the idea of listening, to the point of by the time that we're done with our first day of workshop, that anxiety, even though it might still be popping up, has really been minimized because I'm giving you the skills and the confidence that you're going to succeed even if we, quote unquote, fail.
Okay, so now a lot of kids are at home with siblings this summer, and siblings are not famously kind to each other. So if you're going to do improv with people in your family, there needs to be an agreement that this is a safe, kind space. Is that what I'm hearing you saying, Joe?
Oh, yes, for sure. So, you know, a lot of stand-up comics will go in and their whole bit is about who am I going to insult today, whether it's the audience member or some famous figure. The improvisation that I teach and that I really love is where we set that quote-unquote meanness aside and let's talk about what's happening with us and let's continue moving forward. And if we're zombies or aliens or frenemies, what's going on there? And then, you know, like I mentioned earlier, bring on all the other little quirks or ideas that make the game different.
All right. And now when we watch a show like Whose Line Is It Anyway, we're seeing people who are really, really good at this. And still not everything they say is funny, even though the audience is kind of primed to laugh at that. Is that something else that we need to accept, that not everything is going to work in improv? Because a lot of it's just not going to be that good, right?
So I'm going to differentiate between good and I totally lost my idea. Anyway, sometimes, yeah, your lines are going to fall flat. But the other great thing about improv is we're building an ensemble. We're going to support each other. So maybe I think I've got the funniest line that's going to kill and it goes out there and falls flat. Not that that ever happens to me, mind you.
No.
but I know of like, even if I throw out this idea and it falls flat, I can trust my team members that they're going to pick me up and support me, and they're going to turn that thing that bombed into improv magic later on in the show.
Okay, so a lot of faith here. So can you give me an example of an improv game that you could play with a small group of people where you can try out some of these skills?
Yes, most certainly. And in fact, why don't we go ahead and do that? Now, in this, the name of this game is called Tell That Story. So first of all, we're going to do a little word association. And at any given time, anybody on the call that, for instance, if Robin Spahr says bazooka, I don't know why, if that sounds interesting to me, I'm going to say, hey, tell that story. And so Robin's going to take a moment to tell a story about Bazooka Bubblegum or whatever. Since we're kind of in a virtual world at the moment, let's start with Robin Fulton, and then I'll go, and then Charity, and then Robin Spar. It might go around one or two times, but at any given time, anybody could say, hey, name that, tell that story.
Okay.
Okay.
Wait, say the Robin Fulton, then me, then Robin Spar, then you. Is that what you said? I'm already forgetting.
Let's go Robin Fulton, then me. Charity, you'll follow me.
Okay.
And then Robin Spar will follow you. And then Robin Fulton, you'll follow Robin Spar.
Got it.
Okay. Robin Fulton, give us just any one or two word, phrase, word.
A phrase or just words?
Just a word.
Do you want just a word? Balloon.
Helium.
Up.
Tell that story.
Oh, that's evil.
I just committed an improv party foul, actually. Sorry, tell that story.
Okay, so then when she says tell that story, it's my responsibility to tell the story, right?
Exactly. So your word was up. So tell us the story of up.
All right. So
how did
one day a duck was walking along outside and saw this string that looked really interesting and started pecking at it and pulling on this string and got it firmly in its beak. And it turned out to be connected to a helium balloon, but it was a very big helium balloon and a very small duck. And that's how that duck learned to fly.
Wonderful. Great. You have just improvised. And as an improv coach now, what I really like is you not only took your story, but you added the idea of balloon and helium that had already been out there kind of in the zeitgeist and added to all that. So well done, Chatterley. You're now an improviser.
All right. Should we play that one more time and then we'll try another one?
For sure. Robin Spar, go ahead and start us off.
Bongo.
Game.
Baseball.
Bubblegum.
Hubba Bubba.
Tell that story, Robin
Spar. Dancing.
Oh, hey, you're not after me.
No. I just didn't want it to land on me again.
Tell that story.
So the other day I was at the game. I was at the baseball game watching the Cubs and the White Sox. And I decided to go to the concession stand and to buy some bubble gum, because when you're at the game, you got to have bubble gum, right? So, and Hubba Bubba is my favorite particular flavor and brand for me. And so I got a pack of gum and I decided I wanted to chew every single piece at the same time. And I put them all in my mouth and I blew the world's biggest bubble gum bubble. And it actually popped in my face. And I spent the rest of the game trying to get gum out of my hair.
Well done.
Cautionary tale. It's a cautionary tale.
Right. Nice work. So, Joe, give us another example of another improv game that you like to play.
Sure. This one's called I Have a Pen. I'm going to use Robin Spar and Charity. One of you is going to start and say, I have some object. And then the second person will say, some problem that they have. And it can be real or imagined, but if it's not related to the object, that's even better. And then the first person then uses that said object to solve the problem. So it might look or sound like this. I have a pen. The dog is starving. I can feed the pen to the dog. We're not worried about making sense because we have to live in the moment. So we take all normal logic away, but that's what it would sound like.
Okay, so Robin Spar and I'll go first. Robin, I have a fly swatter.
But the lawn needs to be mowed.
Well, that actually is going to work out really well because if I swing the fly swatter really fast, I can cut the grass.
Insane.
All right.
Give yourself a nice round of applause. Improv.
So So, Joe, what do you think people really get out of practicing improv and getting comfortable with it?
I think they gain a lot of confidence in themselves. I honestly believe that if you get the confidence to take an improv class or two, really you can come to the belief that you can really do anything. And then if you get into even going on further, like some of our kids will do, into performing, then you're really ready to take on the world. Because if I'm willing to get up and try to sing a song that's made up right on the spot based on spinach, because that's what the audience gave me, what worse thing can I imagine happening in my life, right? So it gives us a lot of confidence, gives us the ability to listen honestly and actively, as Robin have mentioned earlier. And then just you start bringing a sense of play into everything that you do. And when we're playing, we're learning the best.
We have just a couple of minutes left here. And Robin Fulton, I want to ask you, we talked earlier about turning to picture books and some of the stories that we're familiar with to come up with things that we can act out and characters we can embody. I know you have a couple of other ideas for things that parents can do with younger kids or kids can do with each other. And one of those games is, you call it the secret suitcase. Can you tell me about that?
That is one of my favorites. I've done that for years and years and years, and it seems like every age likes it. What I do, I got a little plastic suitcase, and I put one object in there. So I like today, I've got something. We could do a little sound. I have the kids, if we're together, they pass it around because I like them to feel the weight of it. But at home, you can do this too. And so I'll do that next week when I teach. And then what I have the kids do is start with some high-level questioning. So they might ask, would mom use it to wash the car? Is it made out of metal? Does it have buttons on it? Things like that. And I'll have them, it's kind of a 20 questions, but they're getting, isolating what they think this might be. My goal is not that they guess what's in the secret suitcase. That doesn't have to happen because then we're not done yet. One of the favorite ones that I've done is an egg separator. A lot of kids don't know what it is.
They've never seen one before.
They haven't seen one before, but it's great because it lends itself to lots of interpretation. So the second part of the game is one of the other ones that we do here at the Playhouse. What could it be? So they pass it around and it is amazing. You might get somebody who says it's a hot tub for ants, or, it's a spy glass. It's a magnifying glass. I have had groups of kids come up with easily 50 different things that an object could be. Last year when I was teaching the class, I think it was the record of all time, a plain brown coffee stirrer, just straight coffee stirrer. They thought of 100 different things that could be.
Wow.
That was so fun. I mean, the kids just, and then we always use that as a stepping point to, okay, now we're going to put a show together. We're going to make up a story together, and you have to think of a different use for that prop. So really, it illustrates for them how we can use props, that they can be so many different things, and it's really limitless. So yeah, no, that's one of my favorites. I've done that for probably all the 26 years I've taught here. But it's a great thing, and people can do it with a bag. I do it at Christmas with a stocking. Something easily that parents can do at home. In fact, when we have our class next week, then Friday, the kids are going to be the teachers for that game. It lends itself to a lot of fun. And just, as Joe was saying, there's no wrong answers in theater. You just kind of go with it and have a good time.
Well, thank you all so much for being here and for having fun with me today and with all of our Talk of Iowa summer campers. I hope you have a great summer at the Playhouse. I'm sorry that it has to be virtual, but I really appreciate your time today.
Thank you.
I've been talking with Robin Spahr, Education Director for the Des Moines Community Playhouse, Joe Van Hacke, Improv Teacher at the Playhouse, Robin Fulton, Master Teacher at the Playhouse, and the Des Moines Community Playhouse is hosting virtual summer camps this summer. You can find out more on their website. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.
Make them scream, take a fall, but a wall split a seam. You start off by pretending you're a dancer with grace. You wiggle till they're jingling all over the place. And then you get a great because...